Good evening and happy St. Patrick's Day. Good evening and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you on our special 5th anniversary edition. It's amazing, isn't it, that we are here 5 years later. And we'll talk more about that in a bit, but tonight we're here to talk about the King Who Cares, the one who brings us together every single week, and to continue to explore his faithfulness by looking at Psalm 9. But it is St. Patrick's Day. So let's talk about someone else just for a moment, because how could I not? That, of course, is Patrick himself. Patrick gets associated with all sorts of things, and today people probably think most about leprechauns and pots of gold and corned beef and cabbage that is delicious on St. Patrick's Day. But when we really get down to it, it's a day to celebrate a man who experienced God's grace, God's mercy, and God's leading, proclaim the gospel. Exactly the sort of thing we're reading about tonight in Psalm 9. And as we think about that, I want us to think about Patrick for a moment, because his life is a fascinating story of a journey through faith. He says, despite having a family that was faithful, his father was a deacon, his grandfather a priest, Patrick said he grew up without any sign of really living faith in his life. In fact, Patrick, though he had all this learning around, compared himself to a dead stone. And then, when he turned 16, something happened. He was captured by pirates and taken as a slave to Ireland, a land that had not yet heard the gospel, a land that didn't believe in the God of the universe yet. They worshipped false gods. And for the next 6 years, he was enslaved there. But as he was there and he didn't know where his life was going to go, something happened. He started to understand that the God of the universe, the one that his family knew but he did not, cared about him. That the God of the universe, despite allowing him to be in this horrible situation of enslavement, but guess what? That God was with him. And so, well, for 6 years he was a slave. In those 6 years he became freer and freer because he believed in the God who came to save him. It was transformational. And by the end of those 6 years, he said he had a series of messages he received from God that told him when to flee, told him where a ship was, and he was able to board that ship to his freedom. What strikes me about that tonight is we talk a lot about God's rescue, but when we think about the story of Patrick, Patrick experienced rescue from what was really imprisoning him, from the lack of freedom he had because of his own sin, from the hardness of his heart. He experienced that freedom long before he experienced freedom in this world. Yes, God did physically rescue him. He experienced that, and he tells stories of other times that God intervened concerning physical matters in his life. But the beautiful thing of his story is that the real change and the part that he celebrates most is that in his enslavement, he met God. A God who would show faithfulness to him as unworthy as he said he was, and like all of us, he was unworthy the rest of his life. And as we come to this next part of the psalm, we're going to be encouraged as David meditates on his own need for rescue, how our real rescue comes when we don't yet feel rescued. And what we do in that moment says so much about our experience of God's freedom in our lives and allows us to communicate so much to others. Let's pray that tonight, whatever we're dealing with, whatever we might be struggling with, that God would help us to see his freedom, to feel his freedom, and to share his freedom. Would you pray with me, please? Father, would you help us to be people who rejoice in the redemption that is happening all around us in our lives and in the lives of others? Would you help us to see that and to understand that, to know that, even when we feel enslaved by the circumstances of life around us in a given time? Oh, Lord, help us to understand more about who you are tonight. And then to share that with this world, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and turn back to Psalm 9 now. We are continuing, we're picking right up where we left off last time. We're in verse 13. And here's what David writes. He says, "Be gracious to me, Lord. Consider my affliction at the hands of those who hate me. Lift me up from the gates of death." Now, we can see several things here very clearly. The first one we don't want to miss is David is not free here. David is not yet redeemed from the earthly situation that he's experiencing. He's redeemed in a spiritual sense. He's a believer in Jesus. Well, not Jesus yet. He doesn't know about Jesus, right? But he's a believer in the Lord and the salvation to come. And so in a sense of seeing shadows of the future redemption to come, he is a believer in Jesus. But David believes even when he can't see fully. And that's not just about future salvation, how Jesus will come into the world, how it is exactly that God's plan of salvation is going to play out. It's also in the immediate concerns of his life that he's not yet experiencing redemption from his enemies, safety from his enemies. But he's turning to the Lord in that, despite the fact that, what do we see here? We see clearly people literally hate him and want to kill him. We've talked about this before. Most of us, thankfully, don't experience times in life where someone is actively trying to kill us. And I pray that no one on here does experience that. And if you have, I pray that you never experience it again. We know what it's like to have people angry at us or hate us, to dislike us, to wish ill of us. And David's in the midst of that, but with people with swords and armies and a desire to see David's life shortened. And in the midst of that, he feels the possible end right before him. He says he's at the gates of death. You ever felt in that spot? Sometimes it's not people trying to bring that upon us. It's just our desperation. It's just our uncertainty. We were talking about discouragement last night. It doesn't have to be a physical enemy. It could be our own mental state or the circumstance of life just feeling like they're oppressing us. But the thing is that David is in a place where, what? Where he feels like he's at death. That life is being sapped out of him. And this is the place David's at. But as we read the psalm, it's not the place where he sounds like because of what? Because he's focusing on the Lord and he knows what God is going to do. This is where David is now. Let's not mistake that. Let's not think that David is simply looking back and thinking about it and it's all gotten softened. David's saying, this is where I am, but I know where the Lord is. Sometimes it's hard to remember that. Do you feel a little dizzied by the weather over the last week or so? We're in one of those periods where we're changing seasons. Spring is about to start officially. And in the midst of that, we've had some really weird weather, haven't we? It was about a week ago we had a fairly decent snow. Not huge snow, but a little one. They're talking maybe on Wednesday that we'll even get a little more snow. Some places in the area saw snow just a couple nights ago. We had that huge set of tornadoes and hail. And so certainly here in St. Louis, for those of us in Missouri, we're getting just this dizzying array of weather changes. Maybe where you're at is a little bit more stable. But if you've been in some place at least, at some point where that happens, you know how it gets really confusing. You get up in the morning, and even if you check the weather, your body feels like maybe the temperature should be a different temperature than it is, and you don't know quite what you should wear. You put on a sweater, and then you go outside, and it's actually really warm, or you put on a short-sleeve shirt, and you walk outside, and you're freezing and wishing you had a jacket, and it's dizzying. And a lot of times in life, it feels like the weather of life is utterly dizzying as well, and I imagine for David, he's experiencing some of that, because here's a man who was a shepherd boy, who wasn't significant by any earthly measure. Then he's told he's going to become king. Suddenly he's favored in the current king's court and playing music for him and best friends with the king's son. And then he's married to the king's daughter. And now he's a fugitive fleeing, and on throughout his life. David has these huge ups and downs, like we all do. And they're dizzying and they're confusing. And the question is, in that, what are we going to use to guide us? Well, if it's the weather and we're trying to decide what to wear, the best thing to guide us is to look at the weather right now so we're dressed appropriately for when we go outside in this moment. And then to look ahead, is there a storm coming in? Is there a cool front? Is it going to be 20 or 30 degrees cooler when I come home than when I left? Those sorts of things are good to know. And so we try to get our bearings, try to get a sense so that we're prepared. And the psalm is really an exercise in being prepared for the spiritual and emotional weather of life. We need to look at the calendar at the start, we need to see where we are overall. We look at the calendar of life, we look in the Bible, and we see, oh, we're in the time before Jesus returns, and so that means there's going to be suffering, but Jesus is also triumphant, and we know that. The calendar of this year, the way that we live out the redemptive story as we go through the year and remember different parts of what God's done, we know we're anticipating Easter and the resurrection. Resurrection's already happened, it's true, but we go back through that because we need to experience the changing seasons as we go through Scripture to really feel it. We need, whether it's using the calendar or simply a Bible reading plan, we go through that because guess what? Our lives do the same thing. We're not always feeling Easter triumph in the moment. David isn't always feeling anointed new king of Israel triumph. Certainly isn't here. But here's what he knows. Where he is right now, he can cry out to God. He might be staring down the very gates of death, but God is right there and able to hear him. I love this quote from Patrick as he looks back at the end of his life on his experience. He talks about the Lord and he says, "He guarded me before I knew him, before I came to wisdom and could distinguish between good and evil. And he protected me and consoled me as a father does his son." The way that Patrick experienced God's love in the midst of even enslavement, he's not someone who has years of maturity as a Christian and read and taken the Psalms into heart and taken the Gospels into heart, and then he experiences this. He's someone who's kind of ignored it. Maybe you're in that place right now. You're going through something really difficult in life, and you know some things about God's Word. But maybe tonight, as you're hearing this, it's a call to you to believe. Maybe you believed and you say, but it's still so hard. Well, that's where David's at. He's staring down death's door, even though he's part of God's people, even though he's been seeking after the Lord. What did Patrick experience in that? Because he was starting to get a sense. He was feeling God's Spirit, and he was soaking up the truth of God. He said, "In that moment, I was being cared for like the best father would care for his son. He consoled me, and he was with me." By the time Patrick arrives back in his homeland, he's a believer. So he's talking about in this process during this time that he's enslaved that he's experiencing this. And that's the invitation for all of us. Don't wait and think when life gets in order, then we can experience God's grace, or we're not experiencing really what it's like to be in God's presence if we're currently in a dark time. The opportunity is right now. David's in a dark time. Patrick's in a dark time. There were plenty of times the apostles were in a dark time. Paul, we've looked at some of his prison letters. He talks about the joy of following Jesus as he's imprisoned. The invitation of Scripture isn't to wait and someday everything will be good and that's when we experience God's love. Rather, the best time to experience God's love is right now, right in the moment. Take a look at verse 14. "So that I may declare all your praises, I will rejoice in your salvation within the gates of the daughter of Zion." Notice what David says there. He knows where he's going. He wants God's rescue, but he wants God's rescue so that he can move from the gates of death to the gates of the daughter of Zion. In other words, and there are a couple of different ways that that phrase is used in Scripture, but it means something essentially like being in Jerusalem, or in other words, being with God's people. That he can be in the presence of those worshiping God and experience more fully the presence of God. Staring at the gates of death. But he knows his rescue is already there because he already knows where he's going. And whatever we're going through, whatever we're struggling with, God is inviting us to do the same thing, to experience that rescue right now. It doesn't feel like a rescue. Same for Patrick. So he was in Ireland as a slave. He's already experiencing the grace of God. And so when he arrived back in Britain, what did he do ultimately? He went right back to his captors, and he preached the gospel, and he became the man that we know, the great theologian and preacher who proclaimed the gospel to people who didn't know Jesus, so they too could experience the freedom of Christ. Because the thing was, he wasn't going back to his captors then, he was going back to people that needed Jesus. That's one of the hard things for us to get our heads around, I think. But the crucial way that we get there is we start to recognize, wait, my freedom My rescue, it's not in being freed from this earthly circumstance or that earthly circumstance. It's in knowing God in whatever circumstance I'm in. Because if I really can dwell on Him and His promises, well, then I'm really in freedom. I'm really rescued right now. And so what do we do then? Well, we recount God's goodness. We remember how much God cares about us, even when we are facing the gates of death. And you think about what David's saying in this psalm. He knows what God can do, and he believes what God will do. But really the heart of it is he knows that God's right there with him. And so what's he going to do? He's going to praise God right then, right there, as he's staring at the gates of death. And that's the invitation for us too. And if you're thinking, like, I'm maybe some super spiritual person can do this, but how in the world do I do this? How do I get to the point that I can be like Patrick or like David and see in my enslavement and my captivity and my suffering and my discouragement and my depression and my hurt and my pain? How do I see in that point God's rescue? How do I experience that redemption? Well, the answer is we start to repeat back what God's done for us. We want to praise God. We don't have to have fancy language. We don't have to have an amazing song to sing. We don't have to have artistic talent. We just need to repeat back what God has done, both in Scripture and what He's done in our lives. And that's what we see in both of these stories, that here, David, he's not in the clear yet. But he's going to talk about what God's done. And that's what we see throughout this psalm. He's going to talk about over and over again, over and over again in different psalms. He's going to name out what God has done. You hear people talk about name it and claim it in the future. That's a mistake. We're thinking too much about the future. We need to name and claim what God's already given to us, what already has happened, what already is there to testify to the fact that when we don't feel it, when we don't see it, when things aren't going how we want, that God is with us. I believe that's what we see in the lives of the faithful over and over again. Something that I struggle with at times. I'm not always good at doing that by any means. I don't want to make it out to be that I am. But certainly what Scripture says, this is what we need to do. Why did the man after God's own heart have to keep repeating what God had done? Because of two things. One, he wanted to praise God, and we praise God when we remember what he's done. And two, we praise God when our hearts are able to recognize what he's done, and that repetition reminds us. Reminds me of a very cold, miserable January years ago. I was in seminary, and I was in Jan term Hebrew. I remember very little of that course, and I remember very little of the time around that course, because it was just this awful monstrosity of a time where we had 2 weeks to learn a whole semester's worth of material. I have no idea why they did it that way. And you had to remember this stuff, and then every day there was a test. And so you're learning all these forms for words, and suddenly a word has completely different sets of letters. It doesn't look anything like the original word, and somehow you're supposed to remember it because the next day you're going to get tested on it. And so what did I do? Well, I got on this little stationary trampoline with my flashcards, and the trampoline jumping up and down kept me awake, and I went over the cards again and again and again and sounded like I was a cat with a hairball, because that's oftentimes how it sounds when you're saying Hebrew. And I just said the words over and over and over again, because that was the only way I was going to remember them. Maybe you've studied a language and had to do that. Some people just pick it up. I'm not one of them. And so you have to say it over and over and over again. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Well, it's funny. We recognize that we need to do that, say, with facts that we need for an exam or a presentation at work, learning a language. Do we recognize that we need that when we're talking about what God's doing? Because we forget. We forget. And we may not think that we have an exam tomorrow, but we do. We show up in the morning and our coworker's discouraged and we're discouraged too. And because we're not focused on what God has done, we're not sharing what God has done. But if we repeat it, if we praise Him by that repetition of what God has done in the past, His mighty deeds in our lives and in the lives of others, God uses that to say, hey, recall right now, I know you're feeling discouraged right now, but remember what I do. Remember what I've done. God doesn't want us to be constantly thinking about what He can do next for us. He wants us to be thinking about what He's already done for us, because when we're there, we're experiencing Him right now with us. When we're always looking ahead, we're thinking God's somewhere distant in the future. Someday we will experience peace. Someday we will experience joy. That's as I'm right here with you right now. And look. What do you know? If I look back at my life, I can see things he's doing, amazing things, ways he's cared for me that I didn't see at the time. And I certainly don't see how it's going to be that way in the future. But I do know this, that when I look back, it always has been that God has been faithful. That's what we're called to see. Why did I drill? Why should all of us, why do we need to drill? Because we forget. And why don't I remember that more? Why do I forget? Why do I think that I need to do that for Hebrew, but not for God's goodness? This is the best antidote to death, is just to keep going back to God's truth and dwelling in it and experiencing it. Talked about discouragement last night. Think about Moses and how he speaks rashly. I can't help but think Moses would have been able to hold his tongue and stayed focused on what God was doing if in that moment he had the clarity of how God had worked over the time they were out in the wilderness that he has when he recites the law before his death. When he reminds the people in that last commission that we see in Deuteronomy, and he's preparing them to go into that land he is now not going to go into. He sees it. But in that moment, he didn't. We don't know when the exam is. Life's a set of pop quizzes. What we need to do is keep repeating, keep dwelling in God's goodness, recognizing that God's never going to leave us at the gates of death. He's always going to take us to the gates of the daughters of Jerusalem, into the city where he dwells, into the holy presence of him in his temple. Because here's the thing that David didn't know yet, but that we do, which is that the Holy Spirit's with us right now wherever we are. So it's not about someday we're going to get a plane ticket, get to go to the Holy Land, do a Little Hills Holy Land tour. It's not about that. It's about the holiness of God is right here, right now with us. And that's been something we've gotten to experience in a very unique way as we started this 5 years ago. And we came together and we weren't even in the same rooms. We were told we shouldn't even consider being in the same rooms. We're still able to experience the holiness of God together and the joy of being the people of God together because we came together, we studied his word, and we remembered what he has done. That very first night of Steadfast, we went to Psalm 57. I just want to look at a part of it again. Verse 6. David says, "They prepared a net for my steps. I was despondent. They dug a pit ahead of me, but they fell into it." My heart is confident, God. Or we might say, depending on your translation, my heart is steadfast, God. My heart is confident. I will sing praises. Wake up, my soul, wake up, harp and lyre. I will wake up the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your faithful love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Here's the thing that we see over and over again in the Psalms. God has been faithful. And here again, David returns to it. That's where we started this journey 5 years ago. David reciting God's faithfulness. How's he going to be steadfast? How's he going to be confident, as that translation said? He's going to keep focusing on what God has done, on his love, on his care, even when things haven't been done yet. And if there's one thing I wish I were better at, I like to reminisce. I like to think about the past, but oftentimes I kind of do it in a more melancholy way. I think about loved ones who have passed or things that have closed or that sort of thing. It's not that I like to be down all the time. I just kind of find myself in a dark place at times. What if I look at how God has been faithful instead? What if when the light goes out, suddenly it is darker in here, isn't it? We say, I'm going to turn to the light of God's love. You know, a lot of our lives we're going to spend with, it feels like God's love is shining on one side of our face, and on the other side we feel like that gate of death, that darkness is right there, right now, shining at us. What we need to do is when we feel that, we light up the other side of our face by going back and remembering what God has done, and we repeat it again and again. So tonight, I want to do that together a little bit, because here's the thing. We are in the fifth anniversary of Steadfast, which is the fifth anniversary of active ministry at Little Hills. We've been planning it for a while, but that was the first thing we did together as a church. And many of you have been on the whole journey, or at least a lot of that journey. And so it's not just about the faithfulness I've experienced, although when I look back at how God's been faithful over those 5 years, I feel a little ashamed when I, a lot ashamed when I doubt. But it's not just about a story I've experienced, it's a story we've all experienced together. And I want us just to take a moment and repeat some of that together. Take a look at this. Well, good evening and welcome to our live stream of Steadfast. It's going to be a 3-week series in which we are going to engage in digging into God's Word for encouragement. I know this last week has probably felt uncertain to most of us. It feels like so much is going on that's just weird. We're not used to it. We're not used to watching our whole nation, our whole world feel shut down. And we wonder what's going on. And so we're going to dig into God's Word for encouragement. I haven't had the chance to meet you yet. My name is Tim Butler. I'm the pastor at Little Hills Church, and we are so glad to have you here with us tonight.
In those, you see, it's okay to come to God with those things. But because we're looking to Him, a group of those who have been praying for Little Hills gathered together and prayed for our community and our world, we have so much more coming up.
In verses 1 and 2, as Matthew's setting up the setting, that Jesus goes on this mountaintop and He sits down.
But wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Right now I'm going to rest in God's protection, even in the storm.
What does it look like to be the people of God together? More about our God and understand Him, and I encourage you, consider being part of Sunday School Express starting this Sunday.
God, we thank you for a new beginning. Father God, we thank you for a new path.
And through the Christ we gain Him, we will be the nature.
Because the only genuine success is Jesus.
This man said,
this committee to leaders is just, if sense in your heart through the grace of God that now is the time to trust in Jesus, then go with that.
Seasons certainly are changing, aren't they?
Surely God will give to you what you need if you ask, which seems like you're saying two totally different contexts.
Recognizing that's the calling as we testify to Him. Stop by our website and you see, oh, yeah.
Not afraid.
Before you sign off, let me just mention once again, I'm Tim Butler. I'm the pastor at Little Hills Church. We're actually supposed to launch in a few weeks, but we decided to pick up and start a little bit early just to offer some encouragement. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you stop by in a few weeks once we are able to open up. If you're in a good church home, please tune in anyway. This isn't about just promoting a church. This is about going into God's Word and being encouraged by it.
I see all those scenes, and then I played that last clip from that very first night, and I mentioned us launching in a few weeks. I thought about the contrast. On the one hand, that first night, despite how weird everything was that we were in this pandemic, I have to say, when that ended and I saw people responding and I knew there were people that were interested in what was happening at Little Hills, I felt a lot more of that light that's on the one side of it. But when those few weeks turned into a few months, and then a year later we did an update talking about we're hoping to launch in a few months, and then that went further and further, some of the things I talked about last night, I felt a lot more of the darkness that's over here. I'd see God bring more people. I'd see God getting people excited even as we couldn't launch. And then once we did launch in 2022 in person, and we started doing Sunday worship services both online and in person, and we started having people join less than a year later, and we had our online church family officially join, and we had our in-person folks join, and suddenly we even had a membership and people showing up every week and some new faces would come in here and there and then decide to stay and start becoming part of the family. And now you're part of the family and part of the story. I'd see that and I'd feel some more of that light, but then I'd feel like it was more of that darkness again. And a lot of times when I think about, like, we're supposed to have already launched and we're not. Or we're supposed to be, at this point, having launched and we're not. Or some blockade would come for, we tried our first Christmas Eve after we started meeting in person. Most of the church was sick and we ended up having to do it only online. And we couldn't have the, I was imagining the whole room being filled with the candles and we couldn't do that kind of thing. Felt much more like this darkness. Here we are, we're 261 weeks into Steadfast. 5 years. Every Monday we've come together for the last 5 years, and we've studied God's Word together, and you've been there in that chat. And while I'm not a good enough multitasker usually to look at the chat while I'm on here with you, I'm sure as we're live tonight that you're on there, and I can't wait to see afterwards. And I can't tell you how often I look afterwards and I see your names there and your comments and applying scripture and encouraging each other, and I feel more of that light side. Because what? Because I'm reminded how God has assembled us together. And I hope that video has been an encouragement to you as you've seen where you came into that story, whether it was at the beginning or the middle or just a few months ago, and you see that spot that you were in it, and you realize, wait, everything that came before me, well, that's part of the story I'm now a part of too. And that's what we see when we look at Scripture. David looks back to what happened before his time, and when he was feeling that darkness, he turned to the light that he could see in the story of God's people, and he felt it. Later on, when the Old Testament prophets would feel discouraged, they could look back. When they were staring down the destruction of Israel and it felt dark, they could look and they could see the light. And the disciples, as they were persecuted, as they wondered what was going to happen, and they felt that darkness, they could turn and look to the light. And know that's what the faithful throughout the ages, as God has gathered us together, has called us to do. We're going to have those dark times. And as we do, we turn to the light and we experience it. And how do we do that? We don't just dream of the day someday that all things will be made right, even though we know that's true. We believe that. We confess that as Christians, that Jesus will return, that someday he will wipe every tear. And yes, I hold on to that promise. But when we need to know, wait, but is God with me now? And we're feeling like we're in that darkness. We turn to the light of knowing that God has been working. And I look at those few minutes assembling little glimpses of what's happened as Steadfast started, and then Little Hill started meeting. And I think about the prayer walks that started in 2020 and continue to go on. We're going to have another one in a few weeks. And how believers have gathered from all around the world. I think of the collaboration we've had with some of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. The JGM Church, of course, very, very early on with Pastor Tyrus and Brackish coming on and Irfan and Eduardo and Shelley, who is going to be visiting us later this year as she's on furlough here in the United States, and on, and our other missionaries, and just the wonder what God's doing. Tony, and you saw him in the video behind the screen when he was here sharing about what he was doing, that he can't even show his face because he's ministering in such a dangerous place. Or the pastoral couple we've gotten to now have some connection with in Ukraine and what they're doing, or the past work in Ukraine with the stoves, or what's happening in so many other places, even in our communities of the church family, down in Guanajuato, in New Jersey, in Washington, and here in St. Charles. And I look at that and look at how God has worked through all that, and it reminds me, well, Tim, why do you feel so discouraged? And problem is, I'm going to go right back to it, right? Because I don't repeat enough, but we need to keep helping each other. That's what we do as a body of Christ together. We repeat the goodness of what God has done, and we know that that's praising him. Not just holding on to the hope of the future, but holding on to the hope of all that God has done. That story that God is here, that as we stare down the gates of death in our lives, that God offers the gates of life right in that moment. That God's rescue isn't just a hope. It's not just a future fact, even. God's rescue is a present reality for you, for me. He is the steadfast one. As we seek to be steadfast and to share that with the world, what do? We keep reciting his steadfastness. May we do that tonight. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I do thank you for your goodness to us. Certainly as the family of that gathers together and studies your word together on Monday nights and Sunday nights and Tuesday nights, and encourage each other throughout the week and in the electronic means we have, Lord, what a blessing that is. And when we feel discouraged, would you help us to be reminded? We've had baptisms. We have missionaries. We've celebrated together the good times and comforted each other in the difficult times. And would you help us to see what we have done by the grace that you give us and by the power of your Holy Spirit? And would you help us then to believe that you are with us right now? So we're not just talking about distant hope in the future, but we realize that right now, right this very minute, you are with us and that your faithfulness that we testified to in the past is the truth of this moment. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and your grace and your care. Amen. As we close tonight, I say it every week, so I might as well say it again. I would love if you'd give this a like or a share because, you know, the parts that are retelling our story, you might think, well, I'll wait till another week. But I think this is a great thing to share with someone who maybe hasn't heard the gospel before, because here's the thing. It's so unlikely that a church could form and actually survive going through the things that we have. Why has it happened? Not because I'm particularly clever. It's not even that because all of us have just been particularly determined. Because our God is with us, and he has been with us. And so when we share it, we're just saying our God is loving, our God has shown his kindness, our God brings his light to those dark spots. We're all going to experience them. It'll come and go, the light will shine a little brighter and sometimes and then get darker. But here is the thing that we can know, that he is with us. And if you haven't come yet, if I haven't gotten to know yet, I'll say the same thing I said that very first week when the light seemed to be kind of flickering and moving about. I'll say this. I'd love to get to know you, and I really hope that you, whether you're just here on Monday nights or you're here every single week for everything we do, if you come in person or just online, that God is faithful. That's what we know. And he's with you. And then if you don't know him yet, I hope tonight you'll comment in the comments and we can pray with you and you can know the God who writes that beautiful story. If you have any requests, any prayer requests, anything that we can encourage you with, I encourage you. Any questions, just text us at 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. Or leave a comment in the comments below. It'd be great to hear from you. And I can't wait to share the next 5 years with you. Have a wonderful and blessed week, and I'll see you again very soon.